The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Oil prices are on the rise again after President Trump warned Iran that the clock is ticking. In a post on Truth Social, Donald Trump said they better get moving fast or there won't be anything left of them. Time is of the essence. For more on this, I'm joined by Danny Hewson, Head of Financial Analysis at AJ Bell, and Borzu Daragahi, Middle East journalist and analyst. And Danny, I'll start with you on the oil prices first. What are you seeing on the markets?
Morning, Claire. Yes, we saw Brent crude up to $111 a barrel. That's the highest in nearly 2 weeks. Now, I have to say that it has fallen back just a little bit since that high. It's now just edging $110 a barrel. But of course, this is all the uncertainty about what might happen. And we have heard from Iran, which has helped bring the price down a little bit, that it has responded two proposals aimed at ending the war. But as it goes on and on, it is expected that, you know, just trying to keep up replenishing the supplies that have been used up because of the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. We had an update from Goldman Sachs last week, and they say now that they're expecting a barrel of Brent crude to stay above $100 a barrel till the end of the year. And we know how that impacts just about everything, particularly price at the pump. But we heard from Ryanair earlier as well, saying that it is likely to impact their profitability over the coming year.
So that's what the market is reacting to. And also that Donald Trump post on Truth Social that I mentioned there at the beginning. And sometimes those posts can be ignored by the markets, but it followed on from a conversation that Donald Trump had with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister. That lends it all a little more credence, doesn't it?
It does lend it more credence. And you're right. I mean, markets in some cases are taking some of Donald Trump's posts with a bit of a pinch of salt and just continuing to rally. But we have seen equities markets down today. And this is because not only are they concerned about the price of oil, but they're then concerned about how that works through to inflation and the knock-on it's likely to have in terms of central banks' decisions to hike rates. So there's now an 80% expectation that the ECB will have to hike interest rates at the next meeting, and three potential hikes now by the end of the year are being priced in, and a 50% chance now that the US Federal Reserve will lift its interest rates by December. That's according to the CME FedWatch tool. So this is very much now markets really repositioning themselves for the expectation of much higher inflation, which we're already starting to see come through in the United States.
Yeah, because equities were quite resilient in the face of the conflict in the Middle East up to very recently, Danny, buoyed by the AI investment that is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the AI story has just been one that has gone from strength to strength, despite some concern about a potential AI bubble. But, you know, businesses in this earnings season have posted really good sets of results. And all of that combined with the expectation that AI is going to continue to lift, particularly US stock markets, that has created a real robustness within equities. But I think now, particularly when you're looking at the story with bonds, we're seeing yields edging up, not just in the UK where I am, but also across Europe and the United States. And this whole thing now is making investors really nervous and really think about the repositioning that they might have to do in order to, you know, get to the end of the year.
Okay, so as we speak, oil is at, you said, just over $110 a barrel, with the expectation over the medium term that it will stay over 100.
Yeah, absolutely. So just ever so slightly under 110 this morning. It did hit $111. But yeah, markets are incredibly sensitive to the potential for some kind of deal to happen, but also when the expectation is that there will be no deal in the immediate future.
Danny, we'll leave it there, but thank you very much. Danny Hewson, their Head of Financial Analysis at AJ Bell. And as I mentioned, Borzu Daragahi is with us as well, Middle East journalist and analyst. Good morning to you, Borzu.
Good morning.
So we're hearing reports that, following on from that phone call between President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, that the United States and Israel now are preparing for these renewed attacks against Iran. What can you tell us about what is behind all of that and what chess pieces are moving on the board?
Well, I can say that the negotiating positions of Iran and the United States are very far apart still. And both sides seem to be in some ways sticking to their maximalist lines. There seems to be very little moving in terms of trying to come up with a compromise. Israel, as we know, is really keen on returning to war and has been urging the United States to go back to war. It never really stopped its conflict. It just moved its pressure to Lebanon, where it has been attacking kind of ceaselessly since there was a ceasefire, even despite the ceasefire. And there are factions in Iran that also appear eager to return to conflict. They think that the U.S. hasn't suffered enough yet. They want to increase the costs for the U.S. and also increase the costs for the global economy. They believe that they need to set up a deterrence factor so that the U.S. or any of its partners will never, ever consider attacking Iran again.
Now, there are concerns as well, and they were referred to by the former Trump ally, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She says that many of his own supporters could turn against him if he sends troops on the ground into Iran. I mean, given that warfare has changed so much and a lot of it is done using technology and remotely, how likely do you think that prospect is?
I think that it's unlikely at this point, but it's kind of unpredictable because none of what Donald Trump is doing makes sense from a domestic political point of view. His supporters have in many ways already turned against him. He is not pursuing this conflict for any kind of domestic political gain. It's really somewhat baffling. If he were to just back out and say, hey, we won the war and that's it for us now, it would probably improve his political prospects and improve the political prospects of the Republican Party and both J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio come 2028. But he seems to be on some kind of move where he doesn't really consider domestic U.S. politics. He's doing this for some other reason.
But he needs to have the Strait of Hormuz open completely, doesn't he, before he can suggest that he has managed to win anything here. I mean, that's what he has referred to all the time. Marco Rubio only last week saying we need that to be open. I mean, trying to have us forget that that's the way it was before they went in there in the first place. But that seems to be the bottom line for them.
Yeah, but opening the Strait of Hormuz is a political decision because of the nature of the geography of the Strait of Hormuz. Military action can't really reopen it. It's basically, if you look at this narrow strait, it's really the decision of the two countries on both sides of the strait as to whether allow ships to pass. It's very easy with a couple of drones. I was joking that even a couple kids with some fireworks could spook the ships enough so that they don't pass through. So it's really very much a political decision. And the route to a reopening of the Strait of Hormuz is right there. It's just that the problem is that any deal with Iran right now that would be acceptable to the Iranians would look a lot like the one that Barack Obama signed in 2015. And that's not something that Donald Trump and his supporters and his financiers would countenance.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real issue with him, you know, isn't it? That he wants nothing to do with anything that Barack Obama deemed successful. But it certainly looks from this viewpoint that that's all he's going to get, really, is the deal that he walked away from when he went into office.
Unless he deploys 500,000 to 1 million American ground troops and invades Iran and topples the regime and puts in place a pro-Israeli, pro-American puppet government. But even in that case, there will still be an insurgency raging with the remnants of the Revolutionary Guard that have just been deposed. And even in that case, he might not get the Strait of Hormuz reopened.
Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly messy situation. And the Iranians now saying that they can't accept the preconditions to talks that Donald Trump has set down. So they are very far away from reaching any sort of an agreement. And if you look at it, I know the Iranians are under huge pressure from the Americans economically, but they do hold all the cards when it comes to that crucial strait, as we've been talking about with Danny Hewson there. Everybody is affected by oil not being able to pass through.
And indeed, it looks like a lot of countries and representatives, not sure about Ireland, but a lot of European countries even are beginning to talk to the Iranians. That includes France and Norway. It includes Pakistan, India, China. They're starting to talk to the Iranians about making side deals to let their ships through, perhaps coming up with some kind of structure for payments or favors or diplomatic chits that bypasses the U.S. sanctions.
Borzu, thank you for your time this morning. Borzu Daragahi, Middle East journalist and analyst there.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.